So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings, and I gotta tell you, I am pre-recording this show. This is Sunday, September 10th, 2017, and I honestly don't know if I'm going to be able to record this live, because most likely going to be losing power. So this is a pre-recorded show. So everything I talk to you about today, we are looking ahead at where Hurricane Irma is going to be going. Now, initially, where I am located, we were within the cone of certainty, which means that the eye of the hurricane could pass over this location. Now, 3 days ago, things changed and everything moved to the west, so it's going to bypass us now. The eye is going to bypass us, but the storm itself will not. We are still going to get a ton of rain and wind. Now, normally, during an event like this, I would be bugging out. The problem with that is that my bug out location, while it is at a much higher altitude and it's very remote, will most likely get even more rain. And the problem is that I have to access the bug out location through a creek, which means that I could actually get trapped on the other side. So I am not going to do this show from the remote location. Now, the reason I'm doing this early is because most likely we're going to lose power. And I don't want some old show getting rehashed for you to listen to that's absolutely boring, you know, some particular state or something, whatever it is that they decide to pull out of their hat to put through. So I am recording the show ahead of time, going to talk about this hurricane and exactly what it means, some basic prepping ideas, because as a prepper, well, here in my main location, I mean, I've got just a ton of stuff. I mean, I've got guns, I've got ammo, I've got a pallet of water, I've got a year's worth of MREs, 5 years worth of additional food, medical supplies. I'm in absolutely no danger here. So that's why it's much safer for me to stay here in Metrolina than it is to bug out to the remote location. So I'm going to cover a lot of things here. Why sometimes it's better to shelter in place, and how to kind of interact with your neighbors to build up a network. So a lot of things I'm going to go over here with you folks, but again, right now I am looking at the future. So by the time this show is aired, it's going to be the past. So maybe some things I'm talking about will not have come to fruition. I don't know. What I do know at this point is that we are looking at hurricane force winds coming through this location on Monday and early Tuesday that could pose some significant dangers. Toppling of trees, loss of power, destruction of personal property, that sort of a thing. And that's what I want to talk to you about now. Do you have a plan? Seriously, folks, do you have a plan? Now, you may consider yourself a prepper, I don't know, but do you have a plan if something happens? And do you have a plan depending upon the situation? Now, here, dealing with the remnants of a hurricane, it's much different than dealing with, say, an electromagnetic pulse or an asteroid impact or something like that, which would be much, much worse. But do you have the ability to shelter in for a week or two or a month or several months? Now, I went to the grocery store this morning to get some milk simply because my dad forgot to tell me yesterday when I went to the grocery store that we were getting low, and I got there and all that was left was low fat and no fat. It was very, very disgusting. Still got some milk, and I also have several cases of powdered milk should we run out of electricity and run out of milk that I can make more. But my point is, when you go to the store ahead of time, when something is coming through, and I've never understood this, bread and milk. I'd never understood that. Why do you buy bread and milk? Stuff that's going to go bad if you lose the power. That's going to be gone. Now, I got a generator, so I can keep my milk fresh, and I can keep my frozen stuff frozen, at least for a time. I've got, I think right now, 20 gallons of gasoline in gas cans, as well as a fully loaded 18-gallon gas can in a pickup truck, and another 7 or 8 gallons in my car. So, theoretically, we're looking at several weeks that we could hang out here without any power and still have enough gasoline to power our generator. But on the topic of generators, folks, how many of you actually have a generator? And how many of you actually know how to properly use your generator? Now, I ask you that, you're probably thinking, hey, Tommy, you know, how do you properly use a generator? Yeah. Well, first of all, there are dumb people who will bring the generator in the house and turn it on, which, of course, is a very, very bad thing. It'll fill your house full of carbon monoxide, and it will kill your ass. And then you're gone from the gene pool, which may actually be a good thing. So, first of all, keep your generator outside. Now, second of all, a lot of people, and I'd say probably 99% of people that have a generator will actually leave it outside and plug an extension cord into and run it into the house and try and power things. But for just a couple hundred bucks, probably 10 years ago, when we got our generator after a major ice storm, my dad and I contacted an electrician that we had known for years when we were general contractors that had worked with us, and he came out and he actually put a special circuit breaker into our breaker box. And what this breaker does, when you engage it, it then opens up a plug that allows you to plug your generator directly into the power box. But it only goes to the kitchen circuit, so it's not getting diluted through the entire house. So it runs the stove, it runs the refrigerator and the freezer, and the electrical outlets in the kitchen. It also disengages the house from the grid. So that means that there's no errant power going out into the grid. So if, let's just say for sake of argument, that a tree came down and took out the wires in the yard behind us, that we would not be feeding hot wires to those guys trying to fix it. It completely disengages it. So that's something, if you've got a generator, folks, look into this. Call any electrician. They'll be more than glad to come out, take a look at your situation, tell you how much it's going to cost to do this. And it is just, it's the best thing. It keeps all of your power in your house. It puts it to one circuit, again, the kitchen, which is the biggest circuit, the most important circuit. And it keeps the extra power from going out into the grid and potentially killing someone who's trying to get the power back into your neighborhood. So what else should you be looking at if you find yourself in the path of an approaching hurricane? Well, hurricane preparedness is a little bit different from the end of the world as we know it. Now, if you listen to the show, you know I believe in Teotihuacan, the end of the world as we know it, and that's what I've been prepping for. So this, to me, I mean, this is a walk in the park. I didn't have to do anything except try and find some milk this morning that was no longer on the shelves. Other than that, I've got dozens of batteries that I keep in the refrigerator. I've got gasoline, I've got propane, and oh, folks, that's another thing. Let me just bring that up right now about propane, because I've got, I think, 6 20-pound tanks of propane sitting out in front of the shop under the overhang, and I have 2 gas stoves, I've got some gas lights, I've got a gas heater, and I have one of those long 6-foot hoses that screws onto the propane tanks and converts the standard propane objects. So your lights, your stove, which normally runs off of one of those little tiny cylinders, there are hoses out there that convert from the tank to your appliance. Years ago, they didn't exist, and when I first started prepping, I actually went over to a camper place and got all kinds of fittings and made my own. Now they make these commercially, and you can get them at Walmart. If you want to buy a gas light, you look right next to it, you will find that hose that is an adapter. It's a 6-foot hose that will hook onto a 20 or 100-pound or a 50-pound tank of propane and will power your gas stove, your gas light, and your gas heater. It's a very small investment, folks, but it's something you definitely need. But when a disaster is imminent, and a hurricane is the most predictable disaster out there. I mean, what do we have for disasters, folks? We got forest fires, asteroids, tornadoes, earthquakes. The only one that you can actually predict with some degree of accuracy and up to a week out is a hurricane. So you have plenty of time to prepare. There's no reason, no excuse why you shouldn't be prepared. It gives you time to top off your gas tanks. And let me make this abundantly clear, folks. You need to make sure that all of your fuel sources are topped off. That's gasoline in your car. That's gasoline in your gas cans. And that is propane. That's mixed gas for your chainsaws. Because let's face it, folks, after a hurricane comes through, trees are going to be down. And even if you're fortunate enough to not have had a tree land in your house or in your yard, you're going to need chainsaws to clear the roads. You're going to need chainsaws to help out your friends. And folks, you can make a ton of money with a big chainsaw going around to the expensive parts of town and charging $100 to $200 to cut up trees so that these people can get out of their own yards. So that's something else to keep in mind. That's free market. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. That's actually something I'm looking at here myself. I've got an old 045 chainsaw that actually was owned by the guy that invented Silly Putty. He was a friend of the family, and it got passed down to us, and now I'm the proud owner of this chainsaw. It's got a 3-foot bar on it. There's not too much that I cannot clear out with this saw if the need arises. And yeah, you're darn right. If I can make some money, put it towards my retirement, I'm darn sure gonna do it. And that's something that you need to look at yourself. If you're in an outlying area and you've got the equipment, make the best use of it. It's what America was based upon. Free market. Use it. So let's say that you are properly prepared. You've got all the propane that you need, you got all the gasoline that you need. Let's just say that you've been storing gasoline. Have you been storing it properly? That's the big thing. You have to properly store gasoline or it will go bad. Now, up at my cabin, at my bug out, I've got gasoline in 5-gallon containers that I have not opened since the early 90s. And because I haven't opened it, it's still good. And when I do open it, it still works. The same thing doesn't work if you've got a gallon can that you're using for your lawnmower. It's going to go bad. It's going to go stale. And bad gas does not work. The last thing that you want during a disaster is bad gas. So there are products out there that you can add to your gas to keep it stable. Actually, Stabil was the original one. There's another one out there that's come about recently called Mechanic in a Bottle, and it will keep your gas from going bad. Because again, you've got everything going down. The last thing that you need is bad gas. No, George. Imodium AD will not work. Gotta take a break here, folks. Be back in a couple of minutes, and when I do, we'll continue with preparedness for a hurricane or any kind of a natural disaster that's not like a whole life-ending thing. So stay tuned. Back in a couple.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Join Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression director Paul Fromm for Walking on the Fighting Side of Me. That's The Fighting Side of Me with Canadian Association of Freedom of Expression, Paul Fromm, only on KKKRadio.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom, it may have something to do with liberty, it may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. So here we are, out in front of Hurricane Irma. And folks, this is the second most destructive hurricane ever recorded. This is the second strongest hurricane to have achieved 185 miles per hour plus for more than 35 hours. It is the largest hurricane, the strongest hurricane in the Atlantic ever recorded anywhere else in the world, except for one that was recorded in the Gulf. And it's not too far behind. What we're looking at here is a very, very significant weather event. And we have to look. Hurricane Katia, Hurricane Irma, and right behind it, Hurricane Jose. All three are pretty much tracking across the same region of water. China doesn't like us interfering with North Korea. We have discussed before in great depths on this show what HAARP is, and it creates weather patterns. You can actually use the weather to wage war against your enemy. And I find it extremely interesting that all of a sudden these hurricanes are now steering towards us while we are having an issue with North Korea, who is backed by the Chinese. We have HAARP. The Chinese have a similar operation, as do the Russians and the Indians and the Brits and probably countless other countries. They're all capable of controlling the weather and steering storms like this. Do you find it out of the ordinary? I sure do. And the timing of this is, well, poignant, I guess would be the word. We're having issues with North Korea. China doesn't want to interfere because, as we have discussed on the show before, they understand what will happen if we go to war with them. But what if they can control our storms against us and wage weather warfare? There's no way you can prove it. So, folks, look very intently at China as being responsible for Hurricane Irma. Some food for thought. But either way, whether the Chinese are involved or not, what can you do to prepare for a hurricane? Well, last year, I actually, ironically, in running for public office, found a way to help me. And that was because here in Charlotte, we had the riots that made national headlines. And having been a politician, I was in great concern for my father's safety. Because at one point, folks, we were only literally within a mile of the riots that were going on in the north side of Charlotte. So the next day, I went out and I purchased a 4x8 sheet of Lexan and had it cut to fit my plate glass window, because the neighborhood that I live in, these houses were built in the 50s and the 60s, and they all have a big, huge, like 4x4 foot window in the living room with windows on either side. So my big concern was that somebody would come through and, of course, hurl a brick or a rock or shoot through the window trying to get to us. So I had a 1/4 inch Lexan cut, and I mounted it across my window. That was something that applied then that does not apply now, but applies now more than it did then. What that means is, if you've got a big picture window in your house, that is a big target. So get some Lexan. Get something to fit over your picture window to help stop flying debris, or rocks, or bricks, or whatever. It's not necessarily going to be a hurricane. It could be some civil unrest. But don't leave yourself wide open. Because, folks, a broken picture window is a 4-foot square open hole that literally tons of Negroes and Mexicans can come pouring into your house, and you don't want that. So take care of that. What else can you do looking at a hurricane coming your way? Well, if you're in an area, a metropolitan area, where you have city water, in all likelihood, you're not going to lose water. Water is still, to this day, pumped up into water towers, and it feeds by gravity. So you're not going to lose water pressure. Unless you have an extreme flood event, like 20 inches or more, that's going to get down into the water supply, it's not going to be contaminated. So you don't have to worry about going out at the last minute and stocking up on water. If you're on city water, take the city water. If you happen to have a gas-fired hot water heater, you will not lose your hot water. I don't know how these things work, folks, but I have been through several periods where the power was out and my gas-fired water heater never let me down. I always had hot water. So keep that in mind. Now, another thing that you want to keep in mind is your neighborhood. I don't know about you. It depends upon where you live. But where I have my mainstay is a suburban area. And the road that I lived on was part of a subdivision that was created back in the 50s. And I think now I am the second oldest family to exist on this street. But it is still the safest street in this city and in this county. And the reason for that is that I have never, ever been afraid to display my firearms. When I was 16 years old, I had someone come up to my house trying to kick in my front door, and I grabbed my 30-30 rifle. Didn't have any ammunition for it, but he didn't know that. And I did my best impression of the rifleman, and folks, I brought that thing around and slung it around and pointed it at him, and he dropped. He left the yard, and I came out the front door, and I chased him down the road. And I have never, ever had a problem on this road since then. Except for 8 months in 1988 when I moved to San Diego and I left. Somebody started breaking into homes. As soon as I came back, made it known that I was back, they stopped. So what you need to do is to talk to your neighbors and let them know that you are in a position to protect them. Don't ever, ever let them know what you have, but let them know that you are in a position to protect them. Now, when this goes down, and I don't know what it's going to get, because we're still looking, we're three days out here, I will do a welfare check on my street. I will knock on everyone's door. I will ask how they are, how they have fared, do they need any assistance? And that's what you need to do in your own neighborhoods. You are the ones that are in charge. Take that upon yourselves. Let everyone else know that they are there under your protection. And that, my friends, is how you make waves. So stand tall, stand proud, and protect your neighborhood. Protect everyone in your neighborhood. It doesn't matter who they are. Let them know that you are the one who's in charge. So I'm going to leave out of here with Klaus Meine and Der Scorpions, who are going to rock you like a hurricane. Until next week, my friends, as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until then, you stay safe, you stay secure. Until next time, out for now. Scratch my skin, so what is wrong? And now I'm serious.